right. Can you hear me? There we go. All right. All right. So I'm just going to kind of continue what I talked about last night. We did a video cooking thing for YouTube. We're up to season four, episode four. Okay, so we're really excited about it. And so I was asking the Lord, what should I teach on? And I had Psalm 105:9 come into my mind. Sometimes, you know, when that happens, you're not sure if it's you or God, but you know what? Hey, it spoke to me, so I believe it is. So Psalm 105:9, first off, I just want to pray. Father, I just want to thank you right now for your anointing. I just thank you for the Holy Spirit that dwells in me. I thank you, Lord, for the robes of righteousness and the garments of salvation. And Lord, I thank you that that's on me right now, Lord. And I just thank you for speaking through me what I need to say. And Lord, I pray that it wouldn't fall on deaf ears, Lord, but that they hear your word and that it change people's lives. I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. David, is there any way you could turn me up a little bit more? I don't want to have to yell. Okay, check 1, 2. Okay, cool. So let's turn to Psalm 105. So I just had this verse come into my mind. I'm reminded there's a proverb that says that, you know, the words, you know, it's, I think it's maybe in Proverbs 1. It talks about how when you lie down, the words of your father will come to you and they'll instruct you. So that's what the word of God does. It instructs us if we have it in our heart, and it comes back to us and it reminds us of what we should think and what we should do. So that's kind of what this is I didn't remember what this verse said, but I turned to Psalm 105:9. So I said, what should I talk about tonight? And it says, verse 9, the covenant which he made with Abraham and his oath to Isaac, and confirmed it to Jacob for a statute to Israel as an everlasting covenant. So that's what I'm going to talk about. That's what I talked about last night. Let me grab a music stand real quick. Okay, this thing's kind of low. I don't have to lean over. Okay, here we go. So we're going to talk about a covenant. What is a covenant? A covenant is a compact, pledge, a treaty, an agreement. Okay? That's the definition. It's a very solemn and serious thing, a covenant. A covenant is an agreement, usually formal, between two or more persons to do or not to do something specified. A covenant is made through the shedding of blood. You know, we think, we're kind of, in our culture, we kind of think of ourselves as, you know, sophisticated, Western, civilized. And when you start talking about blood, people think it's not as civilized and gross and pagan, which it is in many cases. But, you know, we think about Native Americans. We think of blood brothers, you know, you cut your hands, you know, grab each other's hand. You're blood brothers, you know what I'm saying? We think of that. We think of Africa. You know, there's stories of, you know, the great explorers of the 1800s who went to Africa, you know, and they would cut covenant with people, with the chiefs, so that they would have protection in their realm, you know. And so that's what we think of. And I'm not going to teach too much about, you know, that, but covenant is really, it's all I have is yours and all you have is mine. And, you know, the marriage covenant is really one of the best expressions of that. Of course, it's lost on our culture these days because, you know, it's just easier to move in because of, it's just convenient. But, you know, I say, why would you move in with somebody? Because, you know what, there's no contract. And it doesn't mean anything nowadays anyway. Paper doesn't, because you can just go get a divorce. But why would you move in with somebody who's not committed to you? That doesn't make any sense. I mean, you're pretty much saying, if you're not married, you're pretty much saying, hey, when I want to go, I'll go. Doesn't matter. I'm not committed to you. So, I mean, why should you trust that person? Okay. So, I mean, a covenant is really all I have is yours and all you have is mine. Everything from problems to debt to riches to skills to ability to time, like that's the way it is. And so we serve a covenant God And he cares about that. Okay? So, let's talk about, let's go to Hebrews 9, 22. So go ahead and turn there, Hebrews 9, 22. Okay, how's it sounding, David? Good? Okay. Hebrews 9:22 says, "In fact, according to the law of Moses, nearly everything was purified with blood, for without the shedding of blood there is no forgiveness." That's amazing. Last night on our video, I talked about that there's a concept in all of our hearts that there has to be justice. If something wrong's done, somebody has to pay. Like, somebody's got to pay. You know, I don't know who, but somebody's got to pay. You know, that's just that idea that somebody's got to pay. So, I mean, that's what without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. I mean, if you, I'm not going to get too much into the whole capital punishment and stuff like that, but the reason why we believe in capital punishment is actually God gave it to Noah. So it's like one of the natural laws. It's part of the Noah covenant, not Moses. We're not talking about Ten Commandments here. You know, God said to Noah, if somebody takes someone's life, their life is required of them. And he said that before the law. So it's like, you know what, that is, it's just like the marriage covenant. God established and instituted that. And our nation is, you know, flipping the bird at God and saying, I don't want to obey you. And that's the first covenant God made. And that's awesome. And you know what? You know, they're throwing off the natural order of things. And they're refusing God. And that's the end of it when it comes to a culture. I just read a verse talking about the fullness of judgment has not come yet. I think it was in Jeremiah. I think it was in Genesis, the Amalekites, or one of those tribes. God says, you know what? You're not going to be able to go take Canaan yet because guess what? Their sin is not full fruit. And so I can't judge them yet because it's not full fruit yet. So, I mean, we haven't been judged yet because our sin is still growing. And so if you think about that, like, pray, you know, because that's problematic. Forgive us, Lord. So without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. You know, there's power in the blood. You guys remember the story how Cain murdered his brother Abel? First murder, the Bible says that the blood of Abel cried out from the ground, right? But the Bible also says that the blood of Jesus speaks better things than the blood of Abel. And so there's something about the blood, you know, there's life in the blood. And that's why, you know, the demonic and all the witchcraft and stuff like that, like the really bad stuff, like they like blood because blood has some power to it. You know, Pastor Daniel's telling me in Nepal, I mean, you know, occasionally there's still human sacrifice. So, I mean, it's really bad stuff. So there's something about the blood, you know, I'd have to do a study to really get into that, to explain it more. But there is something about the blood. Okay, and another thing, you know, God, in the law, he said, you know, don't eat the blood because that's the life's in the blood. Okay. So let's talk about Abraham. Let's go to Abraham, Genesis 12. Genesis 12, verse 1 and 3. This is where God began to promise Abraham, make promises to Abraham. He said, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and I'll curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So God made a promise to Abraham. And you know what? How did he do it? He did through a covenant. If you turn to Genesis 17. Well, actually, Genesis 17:2, he says, "And I'll make my covenant between me and you, and I'll multiply you exceedingly." Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations." So 17, verse 10 and 11. Then God started to give him details how to do covenant. And I said there has to be blood involved, right? So 17, actually, I'll just read a little bit more. Starting in verse 1, I'll read all that. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said to Abram, As for you, you shall keep my covenant and your descendants after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised. You shall be circumcised, every male child in your generations. He who is born in your house or bought with your money from any foreigner who is not your descendants. So God, he made a covenant, and there's blood involved, there's cutting involved, and that's what the symbol of the covenant was the circumcision. And so I explained it last night that it really makes sense if you think about it this way. God, he wanted to come into this world again to restore. God's all about restoring things. And so God said, hey, I want to get a man who I can come into covenant with, who will be obedient to me, and then I'm going to bring the law of Moses. And it's the way, you know, God said, here's the law that you have to do in order to live holy. And so God brought the law through Moses, and he did that in order to bring a context, a culture where a perfect man could come and live a perfect life through the laws and walking in holiness so that he could die for us and we could be forgiven. I mean, that's how it, I mean, you know, I think we could retitle, you know, the Bible to the blessing or the covenant of Abraham. I mean, because that's what it is. It's a covenant. The whole thing's about how God turned history around to bring Jesus into this world, to restore it to us. So the two things, the covenant and the blessing. God wants us blessed. God wants a covenant with us. So let's talk about Isaac a bit. You know, God promised Abraham a child. You know, he said, you know what, you're going to be a father of many nations. And Abraham's like, how is that even going to happen? It's not possible, right? So basically, God, he said, you know what? Oh, let's turn there. That's better to turn there. Genesis 22. Let's turn there. So God had to test Abraham. Dad was talking about tests. You know, we're going to experience tests. So Abraham had to believe God for this child of promise. And it took a while. It wasn't just overnight. You know, it took some time for him to believe. And then finally, you know, he screwed up. He sinned. But then the Lord came and said, you know, walk before me and be blameless. And then he obtained the promise. So, and then it's great. Life is great. You know, he's got the child of promise. Everything's awesome. And then God comes along in chapter 22. It says, now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, being specific here, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning. Wow, that's pretty amazing right there. He just left. He's like, cool, let's do it. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. He split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, the lad, and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand, and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, but my father, and he said, here I am, my son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? You're not fooling that kid.
You know, he's experienced it before.
And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. He bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. So Abraham's ready. He's like, hey, let's do this. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." So he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its little horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide," as it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemy, the gate of their enemies. In your seed all nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." So Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Praise the Lord. So that God had to have a covenant partner that he could test. Because he's like, you know what? Is everything you have really mine? And everything I have really yours? And really, God tested Abraham. And so God's like, you wouldn't, you know, spare your son. So I'm not going to spare my son for you. It all makes sense. And it's not just made up, you know. It's all intricate. You know, these are real people who lived and really believed. Okay, so God said, "By myself I have sworn," says the Lord. Let's turn to Galatians 3:16. I like that. He says, "The Lord himself will provide." So yeah, Galatians 3:16. Okay, starting 15 says, "Brethren, I speak in the manner of men, though it is only a man's covenant. Yet if it is confirmed, no one annuls or adds to it. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, 'And to the seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed who is Christ.'" So it just, you know, he said to your seed. So Jesus is that seed. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So God made a covenant with Abraham. So let's talk about that. To all people. You know, I got lots of verses here, as you can see. Let's look at that real quick. One thing I think is exciting, I was listening to a tape on the nations of the earth and how there's, you know, the word says there's eternity in our hearts. God put eternity in our hearts. And one of the things he brought out of it is that God is a God of all people and all nations. And quite often, you know, the tribal gods are like, you know, you go to Nepal or India, there's the goddess of English. There's the, you know, blah, blah, blah. Now, believe it or not, there's a goddess of English. The English language, there's, you know, the goddess of, I don't know about that, but they got goddesses and gods for everything. It's like, you need to learn how to be a better penmanship. You got a goddess for penmanship. You know what I'm saying? Like, everything. You know? Just everything. You know? There's a snake god, there's an elephant god, there's eagle god, everything. So, but God, our God, the true God, the one true God, he is a God of all nations. Genesis 12, it's always been God's plan to bless all people. And that's awesome. I mean, that to me is a natural proof that our God is the true God. Genesis 12, I mean, even you talk to Jews, like they've been very, you know, like, hey, we do our own thing and, you know, stay away from the Gentiles. But if, you know,
I don't have time to teach it, but Jesus, when you can argue when Jesus stood up in the temple, one of the reasons why they wanted to kill him is because he said, all nations, I want to bless, you know, and they were like, forget it, like, get him out of here. So I think you could interpret maybe a couple ways. One, that he said, I'm God, that's kind of a problem for them. Yeah. Two, that he's like, I want to bless the Gentiles, and like, no, you can't do either one, goodbye. And then Jesus is like, I'm just going to just cruise on out of this crowd. Okay, so Genesis 12, let's read that real quick. He says, I will make you a great nation, I'll bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and I'll curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. All the families of the earth. Praise the Lord. And you know, we're still part of that. We're still blessing all the families of the earth. Okay, so let's go real quick. Genesis 26, 1 through 5. God confirmed it with Isaac. It says, there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land which I shall tell you. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I give all these lands. I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father. I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all nations of the earth shall be blessed. And then let's go to a couple chapters later, 28. Genesis 28. Verse 13. So he's talking to Jacob now. He said, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham your father, and the Lord and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to, you and your descendants. Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and the south. And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Praise God. God said, he said this multiple times. It's not just like one verse. God has wanted to bless all families of the earth. God is, he's a God of all the nations, all the people, all the families. Praise the Lord. And so now let's get into the exciting stuff. Let's turn to Matthew 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. I think I'm reading the NLT here. Don't misunderstand why I have come. This is Jesus. He says, I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose. It's Matthew 5:17. Did I say 7? Whoops. Okay. So Jesus said, I didn't come to get away with the law. I mean, some people, they have a problem. I think Jews have a problem thinking, hey, how can I serve the Messiah if he, you know, he's getting rid of the old covenant? He's fulfilling it. You know, if you look at throughout the Old Testament, you can just look at verse after verse after verse about how, you know, just I said all nations. First off, that gives you a clue. God wants to bless all the Gentiles, everybody. And then you look at all the prophecies about a prophet will come. You know what I'm saying? And just so many different verses that we can look and see this is Jesus coming. Praise the Lord. Lord, we pray that you'd open the Jews' eyes today. Okay. So Jesus came to accomplish their purpose. He is a fulfillment of the whole law, everything. Let's look at Galatians 3, verse 9. This is where it gets exciting, okay? It says, so then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. And in verse 7 it says, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preach the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. Okay, so I'm not making it up. It says it right there. I'll read it again. In the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preach the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Okay, so you know what? That tells me that there are Jews who are not of faith. So you know what? If you're of faith, you're more of a Jew than they are. But there's Jews who are of faith. So you know what? You know, sometimes you think, oh man, I'm not blessed because. Well, you know what? I'm of faith. Therefore, I'm blessed with believing Abraham. Right? So make sure we're of faith. Okay? So now let's read Galatians 3:13. Actually, I'll just keep reading because we don't read 10 and 11 and 12. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all these things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Okay? So I'll just stop there for a second. You know, I was thinking to myself, this is a good thing sometimes. This week I was thinking, so why don't we follow the Sabbath? You think about that. And you're like, why don't I follow the Sabbath? You know? Because even Americans, it was a big deal in the 1700s, 1800s. And I think, as a nation, I think it'd be good for us to have a day off where nobody does anything. Because I see the abuse of big corporations. They abuse their workers, you know, and then they don't give them any time off. It's terrible. But there's a time where we need to set apart. Like, that's what we're doing on Sunday morning. You know, we give our time to the Lord. But why don't we follow the Sabbath? Because it says, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Now, that's pretty tough. So if you don't observe the Sabbath, okay, if you don't stop from your work, only speak God's words, only think his thoughts on Saturday, okay? If you didn't do that yesterday, then guess what? You're cursed. If you're trying to follow the law, right? If you think your circumcision is going to, you know, guys, if you think your circumcision is going to get you to heaven, well, guess what? Did you follow the Sabbath yesterday? Right? Okay. Well, then you're cursed. If you think you're trying to get to heaven because of your circumcision. Or you could just go down the line, anything about the law. You know, we can't follow the law because there's no temple in Israel. There's no temple in Jerusalem. That means we can't observe the Passover, really, without all the sacrifices and everything. And, you know, that's something that the nations will have to do. They'll have to go to Jerusalem every year. And if they don't, they'll be cursed. So, I mean, we have to follow the law. If you're going to follow the law, you got to follow the whole thing. So bless God. It says, but that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So you know what? We're not redeemed by the law. We're not justified by the law. Praise God, we don't have to follow the law. You know, but Jeremiah, God said, I'll make a new covenant with you. And he said, I'll write my words and my commandments on your hearts, and it'll be in your minds. And so, praise God. He's put the law in us so that we can observe it. You know, and that's an awesome thing. Well, the Lord, the Holy Spirit will be like, hey, don't do that. You need to stop doing that. Dad has a saying from the church he grew up in, and it's, some may do, I may not. Is that what it was? Other may, I may not. And that's what the Holy Spirit, that's what grace is about, is the Lord starts to work with you individually, and what I can't do, God says, I can't do something. Maybe God hasn't dealt with you about it yet. It still might be sin, but maybe the Holy Spirit's dealing with you about pride, or maybe he's dealing with you about, I don't know, eating too much food or whatever. Or maybe, you know, an illicit sin. I mean, maybe God's dealing with you about that. And everybody's in a different... It's the school of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, that's right.
And he works with us individually and differently. Okay? So praise the Lord. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Praise the Lord. So I will close now, because we want to have some time to spend with the Critchfields.
So, Father, I just want to thank you right now for the blessing of Abraham. Lord, we're going to be of faith. We choose to be justified by faith, not by our works. I thank you, Lord, that grace gives us the ability to work harder, to live more righteously, and to serve you in a stronger, faster way. And so, Father, our faith is not a justification of sin, and our grace is not a justification of sin. So, Father, right now, we just thank you for the blessing of Abraham upon us. I thank you for cleansing us, Lord, of our sins. I thank you, Lord, for it's your garment of righteousness and salvation. And, Lord, we praise you and we thank you for this covenant that we can be a part of. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.